to the arch from there, and I believe there's a ride back to the starting place, because it's like a 4 mile walk down there. So you got more information on that?
Everybody gets a shuttle ride back. There is a priority shuttle if you paid the $15. Otherwise, if you're going for free, you're not on the first shuttles to go back. I've had a lot of people call me and ask me, I can't make the 4 miles. Can I start at the mile markers? So there are mile markers, and if you go to the website, it shows you where they are. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod officially will be at mile marker 2, and a lot of people are starting from there that feel like they can't make it. Now, you can't go from mile marker to mile marker and expect to get a shuttle to pick you up. You have to go to the end. So some people might start at mile marker 3 and go right to the arch, and all shuttles come back from the arch. They don't pick people up at the mile markers. So you have to make it to the end to get back. So if 4 miles is too long, 2 miles enough, 1 mile, just go to that mile marker, park your car near there, and you can wait for the march and catch up with them, and then go the rest of the way. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Okay.
And there is information on the insert in your bulletin today. Because I'll be at the march on the arch, no confession absolution this week at 11, but on Saturday at 11. But if you'd like to get together for a confession, just let me know, and we'll find a time that's good for you this week. If you're willing to help mow this year, talk to Paul Reinick. March 29th is our day of 40 Days for Life. In contrast to the March on the Arch, which is kind of a rally and witness to the community, the 40 Days is a vigil and prayer outside our Fairview Heights Planned Parenthood. And Elaine is out in the narthex before the service, signing people up for that. You can sign up for a time, and you'll be there with at least a couple of other church members on the 29th. Elaine, is there anything more that needs to be said about that? Is there anything?
She's in the bell.
Oh.
That's it.
I'll
be in the narthex at Lane 2 after church.
Perfect.
We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us.
He comes to us in his word, in his supper, preparing us for life under the two trees.
Thank you.
him, God's own child will substitute for the first communion hymn today, and it is on an insert in your bulletin. So God's own child, instead of listed first hymn during communion. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
amen.
In heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, for which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful baby.
Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. Instead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
You may kneel.
O Lord, have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God, the Father in heaven, have mercy.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord. Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, from everlasting death.
The Lord deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord. We poor sinners implore you,
hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord. To raise those that fall, and to strengthen those that stand, and to comfort the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts to give and preserve to our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan in all ways that we are, yet without sin, grant your Spirit also now to us who are assaulted by manifold temptations, that we may be preserved in body and in soul, and learn obedience through that which we suffer under the cross. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed him. This is the word of the Lord. We speak Psalm 121. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heart of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The epistle reading for today is from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was yet to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's disobedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
to eat, to find within this cross of wood the tree of life with every good.
The word of God that calls for our attention as we remember the temptation of our Lord is from Genesis chapter 3, today's Old Testament reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our sin-conquering and Satan-resisting Lord, Jesus Christ. So let's say you're moving to Florida, and the realtor shows you two pieces of property, pretty much similar, except, well, yeah, they're even similar in the fact that both of them have a huge orange tree. The oranges at the first property are huge. They look delicious. So appetizing. But the realtor insists, nope, those are poison oranges. They'll kill you. You go to the second property. It has an orange tree just as large, but the oranges are discolored, shriveled up, totally unappetizing. The realtor insists, however, oh, those are the best oranges in the world. In fact, they're the antidote if you would ever eat one of those poisoned oranges. So which of the two trees do you want to live under? The tree with the beautiful oranges that could kill you, or the tree with the ugly oranges that could restore your life? Hold on to that image for a second and realize Satan is patient, infinitely patient. He takes up residence in a serpent, and then he goes into a tree and he waits. I'm not sure how long he waits, maybe a few hours, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe months or years, perhaps even decades. But he waits because he heard what the Lord told Adam. If you eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And Satan wants Adam and Eve and you and me dead. He knows he is going to spend eternity in hell, and he wants us there with him. Patiently, he waits until Eve is vulnerable. Patiently, he waits until you are vulnerable. Your Lord, however, does not want you to live in death. He does not want to have to consign you to hell. And so he warns Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. He warns you and me, don't sin. And he provides another tree for those times when we do eat from the poisoned fruit. It is the tree of Calvary. There is the antidote for sin. But frankly, its fruit doesn't look very appetizing. So which tree do you want to live under? The tree of death or the tree of life? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of the cross? The tree with fruit that looks so appetizing but kills you, or the tree that looks disgusting but will give you life? If you are a Christian, you live under both trees. And so today we learn about life under two trees. You certainly live under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and its fruit looks delicious. That is why we're so tempted to taste what Satan beguiles us with. As that hymn put it, he tells you, you should be able to have forgiveness without repentance. You should be able to have sex without marriage. You should be able to have faith without scripture study. You should be able to have a relationship with your Father above without spending any time in his house. He makes sin sound good. And so we're ready to cheat in order to get a better grade, to cut corners so that we can improve our bottom line, to speak the worst about others because we're hoping that others will look upon us favorably as a result, to ignore the plight of people in need because they're just waste our charity anyway. We do what it is that comes naturally to us because it looks good, seems good. And besides, even if it's wrong, what harm can one sin do? Ask Eve. Ask our Lord what harm one sin can do. If you eat of this tree just once, you will die. This is why our Lord gives to us 10 commandments. It's why he gives to us a listing of 7 deadly sins so we will know where the poison is. So we will know that disobeying him even a single time is spiritual suicide. Not my fault, Adam says. It's that woman you put here to be with me. Oh, not my fault, Eve responds. The serpent tricked me. It's not my fault, you and I are tempted to say. It's the circumstances of life. It's all the stress I'm under. It's an overbearing boss. It's parents who were abusive whenever I was little. You should hear the excuses that pastors hear from young unmarrieds to explain why it is that they're sleeping together. But really, they're no different than all the rest of us. In essence, we say, I'm not doing anything that other people don't do. That's true. But the fact that they're killing themselves with sin, that's going to lead you to kill yourself with sin too? That's kind of dumb. And you realize what else we're saying? Lord, it's your fault that I'm doing all of this. It's these people you put here with me. They keep tempting me. Well, of course they're tempting us. They live under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death, just like we do. You expect that they're going to teach you to do what is right, to encourage you to follow your heavenly Father, to provide for you a great example? No. Look, Christians, we live under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means that you and I cannot stop temptations from happening. The fruit's all over our heads all the time. Pick it. But the fact that the temptation is there does not mean you have to eat the poison. Doesn't mean that I have to eat the poison. You have Jesus in you, and I have him in me. This would be the Jesus who entered this world precisely so that he could live under the same tree of temptation that we live under, so that he could be tempted in every way as we are, as he was out there in the wilderness, but without sin. How does this Jesus resist the devil? The same way that you and I can resist the devil, by believing God's words instead of Satan's lies. You can start by believing this word from God. You are baptized. You are claimed as his own. Christ Jesus has taken up residence in you just as surely as he has taken up, as the serpent took up residence, as Satan took up residence in that serpent. And with Jesus in you, you can say no to temptation. Always? No, you don't have that. You still have sin in you. You will sometimes give in to temptation. And when you do, when you eat from that tree that God told you not to eat from, don't say, oh, it's her fault, it's his fault, it's their fault, it's the devil's fault. Worst of all, don't say, it's God's fault. How about you say, I have sinned by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Those are the words that our Lord longed to hear from Adam and Eve, words that our Lord longs to hear from you and me, words that express sorrow, that we have offended our Maker and ruined the good life that he has given to us. Words that cry out for an antidote because we have eaten the poisoned fruit from that tree of death that we live under. And our Lord provides an antidote. But be careful. The fruit of the tree that provides the antidote, it doesn't look very appetizing. The cross looks ugly, two rough limbs lashed together with a bloodied, beaten, emaciated convict gasping for his last breath, not something that's going to attract people. But in that weakness is the power of God to overcome Satan, who overcomes you. You remember what God said to the serpent? That one of Eve's offspring would be the one who would strike Satan's head. In other words, the one who was going to end Satan's reign among us was not going to be some alien from outer space. It wasn't going to be even an angel come down from heaven. It was going to be an offspring of Eve. Someone like Eve, as human as you and me. A human who at his very weakest, when he had gone without food for 40 days, still could stand against the wiliest temptations of the devil. He's the one that you can trust when the old evil foe attacks you each day. When I worked down in Texas in the early 1980s at a camp, we sometimes had to kill poisonous snakes that came onto the camp, always by striking their head, usually with a big rock. And when it was Kaiserman's turn to do the murdering, I would stand at a very safe distance and heave the rock, hoping that it would strike the serpent's head before he could strike my heel. This is not how Jesus deals with Satan. He does not stand at a distance. He gets close enough so that he is sure that Satan will be able to sink his fangs into Jesus' heel. So he is certain that he will die. It is the only way to rescue you and me. Think about this. What is Satan's power to take you with him into hell? It is only this, and only this, to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and point out all the ways in which you have listened to the father of lies instead of the father of life. All the times that you have eaten the poisoned fruit, and he has plenty of sins to point out. But the moment that Satan sinks his fangs into Jesus' heel, the moment that your Savior hangs his head and gives up his spirit, all of Satan's power to accuse you is gone, completely gone. He used up his venom on Jesus. There is none left to be used on you because he was taking your guilt. He was letting the poison from the fruit that you picked kill him instead of you. He who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree gets overcome. Or as Paul puts it in today's epistle, by one man's act of disobedience, the many were made sinners. By one man's act of obedience, the many are made righteous. By Adam's disobedience, we are placed under the tree of death. By Jesus' obedience, you and I are placed under the tree of life. And when you are baptized, you are given his righteousness, his perfection, his commandment keeping, including his resistance of Satan out there in the wilderness. That's counted as though you had done it. You are clothed in Christ's righteousness, dear baptized one. And you are welcomed to come and to eat from the tree of life. You are welcome to come and eat the sin-forgiving, life-restoring body and blood of Jesus. Now I'll grant that it doesn't look all that appetizing, not when it's hanging on a cross and not when it comes to us now in a little sip of wine and a piece of bread. But the fruit of that cross that you receive at this altar is God's merciful antidote for when you eat of the poisoned fruit that God has forbidden to you. And it is your strength, because it puts Jesus in you so that you can do what Jesus did in the wilderness. Stand before Satan and say, "You're lying, devil. I'm not giving in to your temptation, devil. I am not going back to eating that poison again. I'm holding on to my Lord Jesus." Yep, we're going to live under two trees, and that means that there's going to be temptation in this world. The two trees are not two orange trees in Florida. They're one tree planted in Eden and another planted outside of Jerusalem. One is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one is the cross. One is the tree by which Satan has conquered you. One is the tree by which Jesus conquers Satan. One has some tasty-looking fruit that'll kill you. The other has ugly-looking fruit that'll restore your life. And as you battle against temptation every single day of your life, your Lord invites you to come and pick the fruit from the ugly tree to believe Jesus is for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Because we live under both the deadly tree of Eden and the life-giving tree of the cross, let us pray for ourselves, for Christ's church, and for all people. Merciful Lord, your Son resisted Satan's lies and clung to your word. Especially in our affluent society, teach us that where our treasures are, there our hearts be also. Grant us sincere repentance and a confident faith that treasures your word, your Son, your forgiveness, and your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, there are so many in our world, often nearby, who are in desperate need. Especially in the seasons of almsgiving, give us hearts that care about their welfare and willingly assist with their needs. We pray for those who are unemployed, underemployed, or struggling for daily bread. Teach them and us, in want or wealth, to look to you alone as the provider of everything we need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the church, you give us the office of the holy ministry so we can have Jesus and the fruits of his tree. Make every pastor a faithful shepherd of your flock. Give each of us hearts that willingly support our pastors as fellow workers in your kingdom. And give all of us a fervent desire to learn your word. Guide the work of our congregation, especially as we consider building expansion in a music school. Bless our sisters and brothers of St. Mark, St. Paul, and Trinity churches as they do your work in Steelville, New Athens, and Darmstadt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, grant us good government as part of our daily bread. Lead our public servants to faithfulness in all that they do, so that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Prosper good and hinder evil, defend lives, and protect our military and first responders. Watch over Dave and Luz Maria as they serve in Venezuela. Continue to fill the lives of Brian and Becky with your goodness, love, and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Oh God, we pray for those who are enduring sickness, surgery, injuries, recovery, and challenges in life. Protect those threatened by the recent virus outbreak. Have mercy on Jeanette, Bill, Darlene, Clem, Nina, Stanley, Dennis, Roger, Barb, Charles, Kathy, Sherry, Dimitri, Charlie, Devin, Herb, Tracy, Aaron, the Black family, and Joshua. Spare us them and all of us from the consequences of our sin. Thank you, Father, for granting healing to Bob. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, because our first parents ate from the fruit of the tree you warned would kill us, we live in the midst of death. Feed us with the fruits of your Son's death and resurrection. Grant penitent hearts and steadfast faith to all of us who receive Christ's body and blood. Forgive us for listening to Satan's lies instead of your words, and strengthen us to resist temptation and follow your Son in this Lenten season and always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, as the one who delivers from death and the grave, receive our humble thanks for all your children whom your Spirit has kept in saving faith through the Word, and who now rest from their labors. Especially we remember Colleen and Linda. Keep in faith Will, Rachel, and all of us whom you have baptized. Turn the hearts of those in our church family who do not come to hear our word. Bring them and all of us to share with the saints the joys of your unending feast. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. On the tree of the cross, you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
First hymn during communion is "God's Own Child" as a substitute for the listed first hymn.
Thank you.
font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your consecrated bread and wine. No eye can see our Lord divine.
The curse descends,
and over all God's wrath impends. Through all our paths corruption weaves,
and us in dreadful bondage keeps.
And Adam came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our light, our way. So by one man who took our place, we all receive the gift of grace. We thank you, Christ, new life is ours, new light, new hope, new strength, new Christ, you walk the road our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptations power and thought our ancient foe. No bread of bread the whole can fill our hungering hearts. Lord, help us seek our living word, the food your grace imparts. No blinding sign we ask, no wonder from above. Lord, help us place our trust alone
in your unswerving love. When lures of easy
receive the body and blood of Christ who conquered Satan for you. Come in peace.
the body and blood of our
Lord, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith of life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, you have strengthened us through these heavenly gifts. Grant that the body and blood of our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, which we have received in this holy and life-giving supper, may establish in us humble repentance, steadfast love, and holy living through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.